Welcome to the ministry of Gene Fraser. We trust that the word you're about to hear will have a transforming effect on your life. Now, here's Gene with today's message.
Proverbs chapter 31 in verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. This morning, we want to zone in on now this strength and now how to be a woman of strength. So this is something we wear, like we learned last Bible study. But now I want to help us to be this woman of strength and how to get even stronger. And so that's what we're going to get into this morning. Listen to that verse in the Living Bible translation. It says, she is a woman of strength. Man, don't you want to be known like that? A woman of strength. Glory. I mean, that just sounds good. Amen. A woman of strength. I mean, we don't want to be considered known as, you know, this weak, frail type of a woman. No, we want to be known as women of strength. In Proverbs 31:17, she girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. In the Amplified, it says, she girds herself with strength, spiritual, mental, and physical fitness for her God-given task. So spirit, soul, and body, she strengthens herself to do her God-given task. And those of you that were here last time as well, you know, I got into the definition of the word strength, and I want to get into it again. It is so powerful. It is so awesome. And it is so available to us as women of God. That word strength, how to be a woman of strength. Well, what do you mean? How to be a woman of what? Listen to what strength means. The power to resist strain or stress. The power to resist strain or stress. The ability to maintain a moral position firmly. Firmly. Everybody say firmly. When we get into that moral position, we need to stand there firmly. And this is what a woman of strength is able to do. She has the ability to maintain a moral position firmly. Another definition of strength, a source of power or force. And this is what a woman of strength is. She is a source of power or force, not only for herself in our own life, for her God, for the people around her, for her family, her friends. She is a source of power. She is a source of force in this world. Another definition of strength, moral power, firmness, courage. Ooh, don't you like that? That's what strength is. It's a source of power or, moral power, firmness, courage. And lastly, this last definition of the word strength, power by reason of influence or authority. Power by reason of influence or authority. Ladies, we have authority in this world, in this earth. We are God's warriors. Once we are born again, children of God, we are God's women. And you know what? I believe he's raising up an army, but he's not just not raising up an army of men. He's wanting to raise up an army of women too, because there's only just some things that women are able to do, only places that women really go and get to bring their influence in. He needs an army of women. And that's what I'm looking at here this morning, an army of emerging, rising up women of God. And you think, my, you don't know me. Oh, no, you just don't know God good enough yet. Because God in you, God in me, he is powerful, he is mighty. And he is wanting to come up and rise up on the inside of us and help us change this world for Jesus. Amen. You are women of strength. You are women of strength. And we're all growing in this. We're all at different levels, both even, you know, age-wise, naturally, and spiritually too. But if we're all, once we are born again, children of God, we've got God on the inside of us. And let's remember this. We lack not a thing. Too many times Christians, and it's just because they don't know. And we're here to help them, to let them know. You don't lack love. You don't lack power. You don't lack any anointing. You don't lack faith. Everything we have is on the inside of us. If he lives in us, you got everything you need. What is it then that's missing? It's the revelation of who we are and that we do indeed have everything we need. It's just, well, all that's missing is the revelation. We're not needing more of a manifestation of something in our life. We just need the revelation to let it come up out of our life. Glory to God. And so we want to grow in this, but we all have a certain amount of strength in us. But then that strength can grow. Who knows, when you strengthen your muscles, even physically, you know, you strengthen your body physically. Well, it grows. It gets stronger. Well, even too, our spirit man. As we exercise our spirit man in different ways and do some things we're going to get into here about how to be a woman of strength, where we do these things and we get stronger. Amen? But who knows, it takes patience. Don't expect it overnight. Some of us are just too hard on ourselves. Amen? And then some of us might just be a little too easy on ourselves. Can we please help us, Lord, to find a happy medium balance? You know, kind of be happy with where we are, but yet not settled and settling for where we are. We're not where we are looking around and judging everyone else and wishing we were like them or all that kind of stuff. Here we are. We're us. We're stuck. Hey, you know what? I'm stuck with me. You're stuck with you. You might as well just get happy. So get happy. Amen. Get happy with you. Get happy with God in you. But yet we're not settled with where we are. We're pressing on. Amen. Women of strength, we're pressing on. I'm going to get more of this stuff. I'm going to get stronger. I'm going to get stronger. And I'm going to get stronger as we keep pressing into him. Amen. And so here's some, quickly, want to go over some, just 7 points on how to be a woman of strength. Here we go. Number one, grow in your sense of purpose. And at first I was saying have a strong sense of purpose. But I thought, no, once we're born again, like we were just went over here, we've got everything we need. You know, so we when we're born again, we have that sense of purpose. But who knows, it needs to grow. So I reworded all of these 7 ones in this way instead, that to grow in it. Grow in your sense of purpose. You know, Psalm 84:7, we're not going to turn there or anything, but that it refers to how we go from strength to strength. And of course, there's that other scripture we know, we go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. Amen. Well, we're also to go from strength to strength, it says over in Psalm 84:7. Amen. Strength to strength. So we're growing. We want to grow in our sense of purpose. In Jeremiah 29:11, listen to that in the NIV, and I believe they have it to pull up there. Jeremiah 29:11 in the NIV. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. The Lord's saying, for I know. Well, you know what? My first question, do you know? Do we know? It's time for us to really get to know. It's time for us to really get to know. For I know the plans I have for you. It's time for us to get to know the plans he has for us. Amen? Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. God's plans for us is not to harm us. It's to give us hope, to give us a future. In Romans 8:29, talks about that we were predestined. Ladies, we have been predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. We've been predestined to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. Doesn't that will put a sense of purpose in us? The plans that God has for us, and knowing we've been predestined to look just like him. Can we walk out our destiny together, please? Let's walk out our destiny as women of God, that we are becoming transformed by his glory. We are being conformed to the very image of Jesus Christ himself. That's his plan for you and me. Not evil, only good. Over in Esther. We love Esther, don't we? Yes, Esther, girl power. Esther 4:14. For if you remain completely silent at this time, and this, he's speaking to Esther here, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? So she's being challenged here. Are you going to basically stand up for your people, or are you going to back down in fear for your life? And she says over in verse 16 down, she says basically, if I perish, I perish. She said, I'm going to do this thing, and hey, if I die, I die. But at least she knew she was fulfilling her purpose. She wasn't going to stop in fulfilling her purpose being concerned she was going to die. She'd rather die in her purpose than stay alive not fulfilling her purpose. Amen. Do we have any Esthers in here? We are Esthers. We have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. And sometimes your little thing that you think, well, what am I really here for? You know, and what's God's plan for my life? And what is it about me? We have to stop trying to compare ourselves to other people and think, well, look, I'm not really that important because look at them. Every part of the body is important, ladies. And it's important for each part of the body to find what they are to do, to be who they are supposed to be, so they can function awesomely and then help the body perform too. Picture our physical body. If my foot, well, picture my finger's kind of limiting me today, isn't it? It's just making me point at you. This finger is limiting all because of a little cut. And it's not able to work correctly. So it's hindering. And look. These other fingers, this is a really heavy microphone. So this finger isn't even helping. But if I was able to bend it, you know, it just adds more strength. And so the other fingers don't have to exert as much. It's good to think about, isn't it? So, and think about it. If my pinky thought, oh, I'm totally worthless. I'm just not even going to work for you anymore. And then I got a cut on this, I'd be down to three fingers. You know, so the pinky is important. All that to say. Amen. The pinky is important. Amen. So each one has its role. And we're touching lives. I mean, where are you in your life? You have people all around you that you can be touching for the glory of God. Whether it be family members, children, or if you don't have any of that yet, it's your workplace, the grocery store. I mean, my goodness, just in a situation where the flesh would want to react one way and you instead respond by your spirit, by your heart, by love another way, that stands out to people. That stands out to people. So why don't you just go around town walking in love? Amen. That's touching people. That's touching people. Amen. Us just being who we are is fulfilling purpose. It's bringing glory to God, if we're doing it rightly. Amen. So never underestimate what you're supposed to be doing. But that's for another time, another message. So we'll move on here. But Esther, she knew her purpose, and that gave her strength. That gave her confidence in the moment. In that moment, those of you that know this story, she had to walk into the king's room when she wasn't invited. And she could have been put to death for that. But she was willing to do that. She had the strength and the confidence to walk in that room because she knew, this is why I'm here. She knew her purpose. And that strength brought her right in. And the king was like, up to half my kingdom. Amen. Good stuff. Here's a second one. Grow in your prayer life. So one, grow in your sense of purpose. So important. Then number two, grow in your prayer life. And listen, I've probably said it before too, but this just jumped out at me yesterday. You know, prayer, it's not just talking to God. It is having a conversation with God. It's just not talking to him. Although it's part of that, but it's God talking to us too. So prayer is not, it's simply talking to God. I've said it myself. It's just talking to God. Well, that's only half right. Prayer is having a conversation with God, talking to him talking back to you. I'm not talking audibly. I'm talking in your heart, this knowing you know. And as you spend time with him in these things, you'll grow. But we got to put effort into this, ladies. It's life in His Word. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. So listen, a strong prayer life makes for a strong life. A strong relationship with God, it'll make you strong. Now, everything you need is in you. You've got all the strength you need, but it needs to be exercised. That our strength, it needs to be strengthened. It needs to be brought up from the inside. We need to draw on the strength from what's within. So a strong relationship with God makes you strong. We're not going to turn here, but you can make a note of this if you want. Psalm 27:1, that's this, where the psalmist is saying, the Lord is the strength of my life. He is the strength of my life. And he goes on to say, you know, who am I going to fear? What's man going to do to me? The Lord is the strength of my life. In we won't turn here either, but you can mark this down if you want. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Isaiah 40, 31. That's the scripture where it says, those who wait upon the Lord, what are they going to do? They shall renew their strength. Those who wait on the Lord, they're going to renew their strength. And I remember I did a study on that one time. It's brought to my remembrance right now. That word renew in the Hebrew, I believe what it said, it was basically, it was a trading their strength for His strength. It was a trading of their strength for His strength. When our strength is renewed, it's like we're trading our strength for His. Amen. Let's turn to Mark chapter 1. God's looking for an army of women growing in strength for Him. He needs us, ladies. He needs us. Mark chapter 1 in verse, we'll just pick it up. Yeah, we'll pick it up in verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, this is speaking of Jesus, He went out and departed to a solitary place, and there He prayed. Sometimes, you know, we have to go to a solitary place, and there He prayed. And Simon and those who were with Him searched for Him. Have you ever tried to go to a solitary place, and all of a sudden everyone's trying to find Him? Mommy, Mommy! Whoever it might be. And Simon and those who were with Him searched for Him. When they found Him, they said to Him, everyone's looking for You. But He said to them, listen to this, let us go. I mean, just listen to the confidence right there, Jesus. Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. Jesus knew He had to take times to go to a solitary place to be strengthened in His purpose for His part of that race that God called Him to do down on this earth. Amen. Do you see that? He was with the crowds and all this many healings are going on, but He knew, I can't keep going. He knew, and my God, if Jesus needed it, how much more us? He knew He had to withdraw at times to go to a solitary place, and there He got strengthened. He got strengthened through prayer with God. And listen, He came out saying, let us go into the next towns. Sounds very confident, doesn't it? Let us go. He knew what He was to do. Let us go to the next towns that I may preach there also. He knew, this is my purpose. This is why I'm here. This is why I've come forth. Amen. So at times, we'll be strengthened as we take those times. We'll be strengthened in our walk with God, in our love for Him, in our hearing Him and understanding Him in his ways and His word. And we'll be able to walk forth from that place and know, this is why I'm here. This is what I'm to do. It gives us strength. It gives us confidence. It gives us boldness. Amen? Those times with Him come out strengthened. And who knows, it's just not a one-time deal. Constantly, we learn from Jesus. Is He not our prime example? Jesus, many times, He withdrew to pray. He withdrew to pray. He withdrew to pray. Amen. So grow in our prayer life. Who knows? We can all grow in our prayer life. And so what I encourage you to do is, what is in your heart? What do you feel God is speaking to? What is he wanting from you? What is he seeming to require from you? Not that he's putting a law on you, but it's because he loves you and he knows what you need. So follow his direction on the inside. And you'll know, what is it God's wanting? Some of us, it just might, you know, for a newborn baby, I mean, you don't want to feed them much. They can't take much. They'll get sick. They don't have the capacity yet. So see, we're all at different capacities. So let's do what's required of us, though, so we stay full and we get to grow larger and larger and larger and just make more room for him. Amen? But follow your heart. Find out what is it, Lord? And if you've never done that, ask him, Lord, What is it that you require of me? What is it, this time with you? And, you know, to help you kind of put a time on it, you know? And sometimes, you know, and don't make a commitment and then break it. Because that's not good. Maybe for some of us, we might be at a time where we need this or this will help us. So some of us, you might, if you feel it in your heart and you feel like this is what God's really wanting, you can just stand there and make that commitment, that confession with your mouth. Okay, Lord, I believe you're telling me, let's say, an hour a day. I believe you're telling me you want me to seek you for an hour. And Lord, I can't do this in my own strength. I need you. I need you to help me. And so, but make that commitment and he'll help you fulfill it. You know, so sometimes we just need to make that commitment to lay down what we're going to do, kind of set the boundary. Who knows? This flesh needs boundaries. Amen. All of our flesh does. And so that's just some good things to possibly consider there, okay? Also, Matthew chapter 26. I mean, that's what Pastor did as we're turning to Matthew 26 here. That's what Pastor did. When he was first born again, I mean, he seriously, once he got saved, I mean, that was it. No much sooner after that, he made the commitment as he sought God. And he just felt like God was just an hour a day. And he said it. He said, you know, and, you know, he has shared at times in his sermons and things. It's like there were times, you know, at the very beginning that, you know, it would be like 11, 12 o'clock. He'd just get home maybe from hanging out with me or something. He gets home now and he's like, he's going to bed. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit, it's like he's reminding him, where's the hour? You didn't spend your hour. And he'd like sit there like nodding off trying to, you know, just funny stories like that. But that makes for a strong person, that prayer life. It makes for a strong life, amen, a strong foundation. And so we want to build on that foundation. In Matthew chapter 26, we're just going to jump in verse 41 here. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane with his supposed prayer partners. Verse 41, he's saying, Jesus said, watch and pray, speaking to his disciples. Because basically he came back, he's like in verse 40, he's saying, he came back to his disciples and he found them asleep. And he said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? That's interesting, we were just talking about the 1 hour, Pastor. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? I mean, could you just not stay up and pray with me for an hour? And then he says in verse 41, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we watch and pray. Why? So we wouldn't enter into temptation. Who knows? There's those moments where you're about to enter into temptation. Did you know that temptation is not sin? Being tempted is not sin. It's once you enter into the temptation and put action to the thought, put action to the voice, the words, then that's sin. But temptation is not sin. You thinking some bad, nasty, ugly thoughts is not sin. We're in this world. Stuff's flying all over the place in this room. Radio waves, all sorts of stuff. So sometimes they just kind of fly through, you know, but I think that's not my thought. Don't take it. Take no thought. But he's saying, watch and pray. Why? So you don't enter into temptation, because then that is sin. But that's going to help us, watching and praying. It's going to make us strong so we won't move towards that which is wrong. It'll make us strong. Stay back. Stay on track. Stay on track with Jesus. Amen? So that sounds like that one of those definitions we were talking about, strength, moral power, ability to maintain a moral position firmly. Come on. We can do this thing, ladies. We can do this thing. And we know there's a lot of times, sometimes, you know, we can just watch about just putting ourselves in a wrong situation. Follow your heart. You know, we know when, oh, I know I shouldn't hang out with them, or I shouldn't go there. You, it's inside, you know, I'm asking for trouble. This could be trouble. Then don't do it. Stay away from it. You play around a slippery brook, you're going to fall in, no matter how great you are. And we don't do that in our own strength, by the way. We do that by the power and the strength of God that's within us. And we grow in our strength as we're learning these things, how we grow. Then those times and those situations that will come up at those moments, we'll know, I'm not doing that. I'm not going there. I am strong, firmly fixed in my moral position. Amen. And do you know what? That won't just affect you. I mean, thank God at least you're affecting you and you're staying away from that danger. But you know what? Sometimes when you step back and don't do that, and of course I look at the, you know, the younger ones, the teenagers, you know, as we grow in this, girls, you're going to not just affect you, but the others around you too. They'll stop and they'll be like, oh wait, maybe I don't want to do that. So it's not just about us. It's about the people that are around us too. We'll help affect them also. We'll help keep them away from that slippery brook too. How to be a woman of strength. So important in these last days. Over in Jude 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, building yourself up, we could say strengthening yourself, praying in the Holy Spirit. Notice it's not a period, it goes on. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. So what that's saying is, as we're praying in the Holy Spirit, we are strengthening ourselves and we're keeping ourselves in the love of God. So to me, praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in our heavenly language, in other tongues, that will help us to get so strong in our place, so strong on the inside. It's building up our spirit, man, and it's helping to keep us in the love of God, which is where we want to be, which is where we need to be. And of course, there's plenty of Christians out there, wonderful Christians, going to heaven just like you and me. But if they're not filled with the Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, to me, the way I look at it, just it's a little harder for them. And I don't want it to have to be harder for them. Sometimes we kind of like the easy way out sometimes. We like all the help we can get. And I don't know about you, I need all the help I can get because I know what a mess I am without Him. How could I reject anything that's a gift He's trying to give to me, to know that He's helping me to just live more free? He's helping me to strengthen me on the inside to stand and to help all the others around me too. Amen. So that's what Jude 20 is talking about. We're praying in the Holy Ghost. It's helping to, it's strengthening our spirit, man. Glory to God. Just another way to strengthen our spirit. Now notice with all these things, including up to even how we're just bringing up praying in tongues here, all these things, we can make it without it. But it's going to be a lot harder and we might leave a lot quicker. We might not be able to help as many people as we were called to help. And so the list goes on. So it's not like we can't make it without this. But it sure is going to be better in the long haul doing these things. Amen. For us and for others that we are to reach as well. Number three, here's another one. Grow in your understanding of the word. Ooh, glory to God. Yes, we are a spirit-filled church around here. We love the Holy Ghost. We love the gifts and the manifestations and the demonstrations of His Spirit that we are so blessed and honored to have in this place. Not every church welcomes Him, the Holy Spirit. But thank God for the ones that do. And we're in one that does. Amen. But just as important is the word too. You know, just as important is the word. And we want to grow in our understanding of the word. It doesn't matter how much you can pray in tongues, how much you can prophesy and interpret a tongue, how much you can lay a hand on the sick and how much fire is in your hands. All those things, they're all wonderful. But you know what? It's just going to turn off and you're going to just turn flaky, jakey like so many have. And you know what? Like I would have too if I didn't have a pastor that was full of the Word of God that helped and is continuing to help ground me in the Word. I would have just flown off and been flaky. But the Word is what helps ground us. And so we want to grow in our understanding of the Word. It helps to strengthen us. Listen to this. Devotion time is revelation time. We're not just putting our time in. Devotion time is revelation time. Now, again, like we said before, sometimes we've got to set boundaries. You know, maybe find out, maybe the Lord's speaking to you a certain amount of time that just to help you set a boundary to make sure you do it and make that commitment to Him. Maybe He's having you do that. You know, so there's boundaries. But yet also, don't look at it like, well, it's my duty. I have to do this now. But I'm going to receive revelation during my duty, praise God. I'm not just having to put my time in, waiting for the time to, you know, my time to be up. Receive revelation from the Word. Understanding this Word, it's not just dead letters. When we read it and we are expecting to receive from this, it becomes alive. Revelation is what makes the Word, they are technically by themselves, they are dead letters. But revelation is what makes those letters on the page come alive in our heart. That's what revelation is. So we don't want just a devotion time of reading the Word. We want revelation time of experiencing the Word. Psalm 119:11. We won't turn there, but that's the psalm. The psalmist is saying that about, you know, your word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. So here we were talking about prayer, right? About the temptations. We were referring to those. That's going to help us not sin against God, to stay strong in those times. Well, here, the word. I've hid it in my heart that I might not sin against you. It'll help keep us spiritually strong. So it's a combination of the prayer and the Word. It's going to help keep us spiritually strong. Amen. Luke 4. You can make a reference of that as well, but that's over there. It's so wonderful. Look through that when you would go over your notes. But that's where Jesus was being tempted on the mountain there. And you just see, you go down there, and I've highlighted it in my Bible, and it shows basically how, you know, the devil would tempt Jesus. He'd say, well, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. So he's like questioning, you know, if you be. Jesus, though, he was full of the Word. He had a strong understanding of the Word of God. He was the Word made flesh. But he had that Word, and what he answered the enemy's lies with God's words. And he said, whatever he said to that one, you know. But he answered each one, each thing that the devil lied to him, Jesus answered. What was his answer? The Word. It was the Word. So in order for the Word to come out of us, to come out of us, when we're in situations, the Word needs to be in us. You see? So we're getting that Word and understand, it's kind of like downloading. You're downloading some files into your spirit. So when you're ready, when you need them, they're in there. So don't just think you're just reading the Word. We're feeding on the Word. Remember, His words, they're spirit, they're life. They're just not words. They're just not letters. They're spirit and they're life to our flesh. They're health to our bones. And so as we're reading them, we're eating them. And they're nourishing us and making us strong spiritually. Genesis chapter 3, talking about growing in our understanding of the Word. Again, seeing how important it is for us to get this Word in us. Watch this, Genesis 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Listen to this serpent. He's calling God a liar. For God knows that in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And watch this. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and it was desirable. See, he got her stirred up. His lies got her all stirred up. She took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave it to her husband, and he ate it. Notice she didn't just affect herself. Loved ones, too. And then we know the rest is history there. But just wanted to bring this out. Understand, back in verse 1, has God indeed... So right now here, the devil's questioning. Is that what God said that? Has God said... And notice, he didn't even say it right. He misquoted what God said. God didn't say that they couldn't eat from none of those trees in that garden. He just said from the one garden in the middle of the tree you can't eat. And this devil is thinking she wasn't really listening to God. She didn't really know his words, what he already said. And he's saying, that's what he said, you can't eat of any tree. But look, but she did. She had some sense about her. She said, no, he said that we could eat of the trees, but just not that one tree, because otherwise we'd die. So she's kind of staying with it. And then all of a sudden he says, you're not going to die. In other words, God's a liar. You don't have to do this work. You can just live however you want. Just come up to the altar once. Just get saved and then just go live like a pig. You don't have to live holy unto God. Whatever the lie might try to be, you won't die. In other words, God lied. God lied to you. And so what happened? That planted a seed. That planted that in her. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she, and remember, there were so many other trees in that garden. Who knows how many? But when she saw that one was good, she wanted it. He planted bad stuff. Sometimes don't listen to the devil. Moral of that story. Amen. Lots of good stuff in there, but that's enough for now. So hallelujah. So the devil lied to Eve. So we don't want the devil lying to us as women of God. So one of the ways we stay strong is we get to know the word. And again, now some of you might be like, oh my God, I'm really in trouble. I don't know any of this word. It's okay, because God knows where you are. If you know, but now it's like, okay, but now it's time to grow now. It's time to grow now in our knowledge of the word. You know, we're only accountable for what we know and what we're to be doing, okay? So everyone settle down. It's all right. That this is a time that God's saying it's time to press in now. You know, and think about it. We're able to affect more people when we allow the word to affect us more. Here's number 4. Grow in being a doer of the word. That's a good one. Say it. That's a good one. It is a good one. Grow in being a doer of the word of God. So it's time now, as we hear the word of God and we come to know some of this word of God, don't just walk out saying, oh yeah, that was a good word. But we're actually walking out, yeah, that was a good word, and by golly, by the grace and help of God, I'm walking out, and I'm going to apply this to my life now, and people are going to see me change, because the word of God is a life-changing substance, and I'm not just going to hear it and hear and go out there and live like the devil, or just live like a basic carnal Christian. Come on, they need lights, ladies. This world, Christian ladies, they need lights. We're not supposed to look like this world. We're supposed to look like God. And that's what we're going to do. Amen. So we want to grow in being doers of these words that we hear in here. Exercising it in our lives. Putting it into practice. I didn't say you're going to go out and just walk in it perfect and never mess up. But thank God, at least we're pressing towards perfection. We're saying, I'm going to do it, by golly. And if we fail, if we sin, we don't do it. We get up. We don't throw a pity party and ask Marina to come over and play the violin for us. We get up and we say, Father God, and let's not be so surprised that we messed up. I have been so completely taken, so surprised. How could I have done that? And I would talk to my husband. He'd be like, it doesn't surprise me. We got to realize sometimes, how could I have done that? When we step away from the grace of God, from that place that we are being planted, we're getting stronger and stronger in our place. When we step away from him, we're stepping away. You know what? We are stepping towards sin when we step away from him. Don't think you can just step away a little bit and still be serving him. You're in danger. We want to stay in him, not step away from him. That's dangerous. We stay in him. Amen. Everybody say in him. We stay in Him. Hallelujah. So we want to be doers. We want to apply it to our lives the best we can. And when we do mess up, we 1 John 1:9 it. Father, you said, I confess my sins. You are faithful and you are just to forgive me of that sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I receive it right now. I receive your mercy and go on. And sometimes you think, well, how could you be so confident that he really forgives? I'm not confident in what I've said. I'm confident in the words that I've spoken. I'm confident in his love. I'm confident in his mercy. I'm confident. And we want to grow in our confidence. It helps us grow in our strength and our position with God that we know, hey, if I did mess up, glory to God. I'm getting that thing right. I'm wiping that dust off my feet. Glory to God. And I'm moving on. But the devil wants us to think, no, you got to wallow in it. You got to swallow some of that stuff now, baby. You got to sleep in that bed. You just made it. No, you don't. God will get you a new bed. Amen? Amen. You don't have to sleep in that bed anymore. And you don't have to make it. He'll just get you a new one. Woo! So James 1:22, that scripture talks about being a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. And it goes on to say that person that is just a hearer and not a doer is deceiving themselves. And we don't want to do that. Sometimes it feels good. We know we're deceiving others. We're letting them think, oh, yeah, I'm this or I'm that or I'm so much more holier than thou. Look how I appear to be. Or, you know, we might be able to deceive others. But understand, we're deceiving ourselves all at the same time. And you know what? There's one person that we'll never be able to deceive, and it's God. He knows. So let's be truthful with ourselves. So then we'll just be truthful with other people. Amen. And that's when God can really help us. That's when God can help us. Amen. A deceived woman is not a strong woman. And we want to be strong women. Amen. Deception will dull you and weaken you. That's what deception will do. It'll dull you and it'll weaken you. But the truth is going to sharpen you and strengthen you, glory to God. So we want the truth. We need to be sharpened. We need to be strengthened. We know I have to have the truth. I cannot live without his truth. I cannot live without his presence. I am a mess up. I am a crazy mess without Jesus. But we don't have to be without Jesus. We're going to stay in him. We're not stepping away. We're staying in him. Amen. Getting stronger and stronger every day. Apply his word to our everyday walk. That's what it means about being a doer of the word. Just apply the word in your life. Just apply it in your life. That is what it was meant to do. Not just come in church and hear it. Right? Doers of the word. By the grace and strength and help of God we do this. Not in your own strength. Some of you are looking at me like, I can't do that. Well, duh, he knows you can't. That's why you're here this morning, hearing that you can't. And being encouraged that through God and with his help, you can. And you ought to. It's time. Tell yourself, Gene, it's time to grow in your strength. Hallelujah. We've just got two more here. Okay, well, three more. Oh, man, it's a little late. Okay, number five. Grow in submission. I knew you were going to love this. I almost saved it for last because you want to save the best for last. But we're going to go through this really quick because I want you all to still love me when we leave. But I'm just going to throw out some tidbits. And, hey, it's up to you if you want to take it or not, okay? Just really quick. Just grow in your submission. Submission makes you strong in this world. Women's lib, all that stuff. They want to think, oh, when you submit, you listen to a man. That's weak. No. That's strong. Doing it the word's way is doing it the strong way. Doing it the world's way, that's the weak way. And it might not seem that way down here, but I'll tell you what, one day when we're up there, it'll all be known to those. So I'd rather do what I know to do, not worry about that others that think of those things about me that aren't true. I'm living for God, living unto him, and one day it'll all be known. Amen. submission is, makes you strong. So I encourage you, whether if you're married, if you have a husband, or if that's not the case, an employer, right, to an employee, or if you're a teenager, maybe to your parents, or authority, like even the church, you know, there's different authorities and submission, grow in submission. And just remember, just two things really quick, and I know the flesh does not like it. I mean, my flesh, do you think my flesh likes the word submission? It doesn't, but I'm not going by my flesh, I'm going by my spirit, my heart. And that loves, because it knows, oh man, there's answers in that. There's glory in that. There's grace in that. There's strength in that. Woohoo! Glory. There is. There's freedom in submission. Whether it's to your husband, your employee. And why is that? Because there's freedom in God, and it's God's way. So can't help but get free. Amen. Grow in your submission. Stay in your place of grace. There's strength there. But you know what? Submission is not for the weak. Like I said, it is not for the weak. It is for the strong. And it'll help get you stronger and stronger and stronger. And you'll think about it again, our ultimate example, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think, sometimes people, they forget. They think like, oh yes, Jesus willingly said, yes, I want to go to the cross and I want to be crucified and I want that thorn of on my head and I want those nails. I mean, really? No. But Jesus did say, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And remember, he was able to do that. What did he do right before he said that? He was in the prayer, the Garden of Gethsemane, like we were just referring to. He was watching and praying because he knew that moment was going to come. And he knew he could go the other way. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And then number six, grow in taking care of yourself physically. Grow in taking care of yourself physically. Again, everyone is different. Everyone different ages, different abilities, blah, 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 blah. But I just wanted to bring this out just for a few things, okay? In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, for bodily exercise profits a little. I wanted to just bring that out. Bodily exercise profits a little. But you know what? Spiritually, bodily exercise, it actually will help us spiritually profit a lot. If we do it right and for the right reasons. Because as we discipline our body, we are strengthening our spirit. And watch this scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. This is so good. But I discipline my body. Notice he's saying I. Remember, we are a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. I meaning spirit man. I discipline my body. I am not a body. I live in a body. Remember, we are a spirit, we have a soul, our mind, our will, emotions, and we live in a body. That's our house. So I discipline my body, and I bring it under subjection to my spirit. Okay, thank you. We're bringing it into subjection to me, the real me, my spirit man. And so doing these things, it will help strengthen us spiritually as we're taking care of God's house, even physically. But again, notice it profits a little. So for the sake of that too, it profits a little. So if it's going to just profit a little, well, I'm not going to give so much time to it if it's only profiting a little. I got to make sure I'm giving more time to the thing that really is going to profit me. And that said, it was godliness. Godliness is profitable to all things, all the time. Amen. So we want to check up on that and make sure we keep a really good balance, or I'll say unbalance on that one. Spirit first. Amen. And then lastly, grow in the joy of the Lord. Grow in the joy of the Lord. Nehemiah 8:10. At the latter part here. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And who knows, in this world, things, people, situations, circumstances will try to steal or take away our joy, right? But if we'll remember that song, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it. So then what does it say? And the world can't take it away. So know that this joy that I have, I've got all the joy I need. I don't need any more joy. Now, there's things in life, natural things that can happen and experiences, and all those things can bring a certain amount of joy, But they're not, it's not the joy that's going to be able to last forever, because anything external, all those things can change. You know, I mean, there's all sorts of, you know. So, but we want to say, no, the joy of the Lord is my strength. A woman full of joy is a woman full of strength. So, you know, laughter is refreshing. Has anyone ever tried that before? It is refreshing. There's strength in it. And actually, you know, you strengthen your ab muscles as you do that. So if you want a good ab workout, laugh. But then some of you might be like, well, but I don't have your life. I have my life, and there's no reason to laugh. Well, first of all, let's never judge anybody's life by the cover, because you don't know what's going on in that life. They could be going through hell on earth. But yet someone who is strong in the Lord and has the joy of the Lord, it's not going to be able to be written all over their face. God's glory, God's anointing is going to be on their face. Amen. Because they're trusting in him to bring them through into their victory place. Amen. So we don't see it here. Amen. But there's strength in joy. You know, just like David did, sometimes you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. Sometimes it's just you. You know, and instead of taking out the violins, we got to stir up the laughter within. You know, we want to get better at that, encouraging ourselves in the Lord. Amen. Because sometimes it's just us, and we need to do that ourselves, and we can do that. So, in review, here we are, the 7 points, one more time, about growing in the strength of God. Number one, grow in your sense of purpose. Number two, grow in your prayer life. Number three, grow in understanding the word of God. Number four, grow in being a doer of that word. Number five, grow in submission. Number six, grow in taking care of yourself physically. And then number seven, grow in the joy of the Lord. Amen. You ladies ready to grow?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Have you been helped this morning?
Yes.
Amen. I believe we have been. Thank you, Jesus.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Gene Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org or call 888-542-2555. You can hear more messages by Gene Fraser by going to her media page at genefraser.org. While you're there, you'll also find more information about Gene's bi-monthly Ladies Bible Studies and a Night in the Glory Ladies Meetings, as well as her annual You Glow Girl Ladies Conference. That website again is genefraser.org. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.